More is you and Magic's Indulgence podcast. A little indulgence wherever you are with More Than, the insurer that does more.
Well, a very good evening. It's Indulgence, the show where we invite a star guest to indulge in some of their favourite magic music. And this week, well, it's my absolute pleasure to meet an acting legend, Sir Michael Caine. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Lovely to have you with us. Now, looking forward to talking to you more at the moment about the new film as well. But first, let's get your first song choice on, which is Elton John and I'm Still Standing. Why that one?
Well, for a start, the title is everybody's amazed that I'm still standing, including me. But Elton and I have been friends for so long. I think we first met on a Michael Parkinson years ago. He had a full head of hair and everything. And Michael Parkinson and he and I finished the program singing Roll Out the Barrel. And that was it. But I'm Still Standing, I think, is not only a great song, but I'd like to tell you that I am.
Elton John there, and I'm Still Standing on Magic Indulgence. Well, Michael Caine, my special guest this evening. Michael, seen the new film, love it. Is anybody there? Obviously, excellent performance from you, very touching film. But also the young Bill Milner, who's absolutely marvellous in it, isn't he? What a revelation.
Oh, a complete revelation to us. And I was very worried, because you do a movie with a child, that's okay. But you do a movie where you depend on the child, because he's an equal lead with me. And he's got to carry half the movie. And if he doesn't, you're in the toilet. And I was so worried. And then our director came up with Bill Milner, who's such a wonderful actor. Is that people say to me, so, well, you know, you're the old actor, did you give him any advice? I said, he absolutely didn't need any. You don't tell him anything, because he's a perfectly natural film actor and a marvellous young man that's showing depths of emotion. And we were so lucky to find him. It was a miracle.
So you'll be expecting big things of him, no doubt. Sounds like he's going to be a big player in the next few years.
Yeah. He was 12 when he made this film. He's 14. He's already made Son of Rambo. And he was on a television on the other night, something like Pellegrino. He was on the television anyway, in a very good show. And I was doing an interview with him just now, and he has another movie, because he said he's got a new movie where he's got to learn skateboarding. So he's off and running.
You don't fancy a cameo in that one, then?
Eh?
Skateboarding film.
I'll teach him.
Now, obviously, your music taste, Michael. Well, I was amazed to see how eclectic your tastes are.
Oh, people are stunned by it. You know, they go, Chicane? Who is Chicane? You know, and they are fabulous. And there's a wonderful one which I like, which is the most weird title I've ever seen for a song. It's Bent by Swollen. Or Swollen by Bent, but it's Bent, Swollen. And you go, is that a song?
Our next choice
it,
from
it
you
is a song. Song.
It is a song, isn't it? And this one is as well, Coldplay and Viva La Vida.
I love Coldplay and Viva La Vida. And I always remember Chris Martin in that very first video he did, walked along the beach with the sun coming up, and I'm sitting there like a film person going, how the hell did they do that? You know, because he came from sort of darkness to sunset without ever blinking, you know, and I eventually found out, and it's too difficult to explain on a radio show.
A good trick of the trade.
Yes.
Coldplay then, and Viva La Vida. Lovely. Oh, look at that. Pleasing the producer, that's always a good day. Well, Michael Caine, my special guest on Magic Indulgence tonight. And Michael, I know that obviously lots of people remember you from the massive films of the 60s and 70s and the Alfies, the Italian Jobs, the Get Carters. Do they all seem like another life now, a long time ago? I mean, how do you feel when you look back at those days?
The thing is, I find it extraordinary. I forgot about television and the power of it, that these people know these films. You know, the first sign of it was, I think it was the guy who created CNN, he bought MGM.
Ted Turner. Yeah.
And he found two films in libraries that he bought. One was Zulu and the other one was Get Carter. And Get Carter and Zulu came back into the conscience because he put them on Turner Classic Movies. and they came back in America where they were not known at all. And then it sort of came back in England where both of them were very well known but sort of half forgotten.
So you got a lot to thank him for?
Oh, I've got a lot to thank Ted Turner for, yeah. And, I mean, the other date, for instance, I was having a picture taken by a photographer who's about 40 years old, and he said, my six-year-old son, he said, can't believe this. I said, why not? He said, he can't believe that I'm taking a photo today of Charlie Croker. He's the hero of the Italian job, mm-hmm. and this is a six-year-old boy.
That's amazing,
you know.
Isn't
and
it?
This it comes from television,
yeah,
you see.
And it's reaching a whole new generation of
a
people.
A whole
now.
New generation, yeah. And even I myself am reaching a whole new generation because I'm now Alfred the Butler in Batman.
That's right, and we're going to talk a bit about that in a minute. But first, I've got to ask you about your next song choice because I know you've got a cracking story about Sting, who's been a friend of yours for quite a while, and The Police with Every Breath You Take.
Yeah, yeah. I was having dinner with Sting. And I said in this film, and I said, that Every Breath You Take, I said, that is the most romantic song I've ever heard. I said, every breath you take, every move you make, I will be watching you. And I said, I thought it was extraordinarily romantic. And he let me ramble on a bit about this. And he said, Michael, it was about my children, which I admired him even more for.
Absolutely.
You know?
And you're still good friends,
sure,
which is
yeah,
testament
oh, no,
to that.
And I thought it was absolutely... I thought it was so much better being about his children than being about a romance.
Michael, one of the things that a lot of people have asked me, knowing I'm coming to meet you today, is how London has changed since the swinging 60s, because obviously you were part of the big scene then, weren't you? And
yeah.
You're in all the cool venues around town and... Is there anywhere, do you think, that survived the test of time in that respect? And anywhere that now you think, well, actually, that's done really well to last this long? Because, you know, London, by its nature, is a very fashionable, trend-setting city,
yeah.
isn't it? Anywhere that you'd say has carried on?
Well, Annabelle's is still there. Harry's Bar is still there. They've all carried on. The Ivy's still there. The Criterion, all these... The restaurants are still there and the clubs. But what did happen was in the 60s, all the clubs were in the West End. Now, some of the best restaurants and clubs are out, like in Hoxton, East, you know, Smithfield.
The rise of the East, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it sort of upsets me when I see reviews of great restaurants that I'm never going to get to because I know I've got an hour's journey out, right out to the East End or Hackney or somewhere. And the way the city widened, that's instead of just being Mayfair and the West End.
Was your experience with Langan's, the restaurant you used to own, a good
one? Langan's is still there.
Yeah.
You know, it's still there. And Chris Corbin, who was our first manager, still there with the Wall Street.
Is he really?
Yeah.
And that's a great restaurant.
Yeah, well, Chris Corbin was our first manager at Langan's. He went off and did his own thing and did all those other restaurants.
Yeah, kings of the London restaurant
yeah,
scene.
Exactly.
Now,
yeah, exactly, yeah.
Michael, let's do another song choice. This one comes from Supertramp and Breakfast in America. I'm loving the mix we're getting tonight, but this is another one of your favourites by the sound of it.
Yeah, this was just I love beat music, you know, and I thought this was incredible. It's a really great group. And you never hear it played anywhere. I never hear it played. And I say to people, Breakfast in America, Supertramp, and they look at me like I'm from Mars. Maybe I am.
No, you're not. And you're hearing it now on Magic, aren't you?
Yeah, great.
So that was very not off, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it's
not off.
Especially a nice
yeah. Not off.
Excellent. We're doing really well.
Michael Caine, my special guest on Magic Indulgence this evening. And Michael, we were talking a little bit earlier in the show about your role as Alfred the Butler in Batman, of course, most recently The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Is that something you're likely to reprise?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think there'll be another Batman, but I don't know when, because Christopher Nolan is the writer-director of those. And I happen to know, because I'm in it, not very much, but he's doing a new movie called Inception, which will take quite a long time to do. So, and no one knows what the next Batman will be except him. Even the executives at Warner's don't know. And so it's a good 2 years away. I have a contract which says I do the next Batman, but it's one of those things, if it doesn't happen, they're not going to pay me anyway.
Which is the most important bit.
Which is the most important bit, yeah.
But of course, that's bringing
you to it. Yeah, but films like A Dark Knight financed me to do films like Is There Anybody There? Where
precisely.
I don't get paid any money.
And in fact, that led me on to my next question, because obviously this is sort of the biggest franchise by a million miles you've ever been involved in, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when you look at the big Hollywood blockbusters now, what's your feeling about them? Do you like those, or do you still think there's room for these independent films?
But there's room for both. I mean, if you look at this year with Slumdog Millionaire and, all the Oscars, that's fine. We made the money, they got the awards, and then they made a lot of money because they got the awards. You know, Dark Knight didn't need any money, any awards to make money.
No.
But the most amazing thing about Dark Knight, which is the second, I think, second most... had money-making film in the world. We couldn't beat Titanic because you couldn't get the female audience that went to see the romance between Kate and Leonardo.
Yeah, you know? And that wouldn't have worked, really.
No, we would never have got that audience. And so we were always going to be second. But with the speed of it, I remember Dark Knight, they took $250 million in 3 weeks.
A lot of money, isn't it? Even in this day and age,
yeah. That's money.
It's Michael Caine picking the songs tonight. Who knows what's coming next? I can tell you it's Dire Straits and Sultans of Swing.
I love Mark Knopfler singing this. It's absolutely great. It knocks me out. I played it when it first came out. I play it every now and then now. I love this. I think it's a great, great song.
Well, it's Sunday evening, Magic 105.4, and I'm Steve Priestley talking to Michael Caine this evening, my very special guest, about the new film, Is Anybody There? Michael, a lot of people are saying already the film's out this weekend, and they're saying that it's one of the performances of your career. Would you agree?
Yeah. Why not? Yeah, it's a performance. No, it is, actually, not because it's a great performance compared with anyone else, but it's the best movie acting I can do. I can't do it any better than that. And so that's my lot. So if it's no good, I've had it.
Do you even feel after all this time you must come off a day on set and go, do you know what? That was a good day. I really nailed it.
Yeah, well,
it feels like that, does it?
That was with this film. I mean, I'm not saying the performance is any good, and a lot of other actors could do it better. Mm. What I'm saying is, I couldn't do it better. I didn't sit and watch a movie and say, I wish I'd have done that. I shouldn't have done
that. That was Michael Caine running at 110%. That's
101%. And what you see is what you get.
How do you pick your scripts these days? Because presumably you've got a lot coming through.
Yeah.
What's your criteria? Because obviously you can afford to be a bit more cheesy these days,
yeah.
No doubt.
I have a category called Offers I Can't Refuse, and it has nothing to do with money.
Or The Godfather.
No. It's just... it's a movie I must make because it tests me. I have no sense of competition. My motto is follow the dream, not the competition. And I came in this as a dream. It was a dream. And I'm still following the dream, not the competition. And my own competition is me.
Yes.
The last time.
Yeah.
I've got to be better the next time. My own severest, terrible critic is me. You know, and I know a lot about movie acting, so I better be good, otherwise I'm going to get a very bad review from me.
You've done all right, haven't you?
I've done all right.
You're still going.
Yeah, I'm still going. Yeah, but that's the thing. I was talking to a journalist the other day, and he was talking about how it was getting better for women, you know, who are getting older, because it used to be terrible, but now it's getting better. But he said to me, it'd be hard to find a woman who could find two leading parts in films one after the other at the age of 76.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's something to be proud of.
Then I remember driving Miss Daisy. She was 82. What was her name?
Jessica Tandy. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, she was 82.
She was. And that was spectacular, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to do Driving Mr. Daisy when I'm 82. Perhaps I'll get an Oscar.
That'll be worth watching, eh?
Yeah.
We look forward to that. 6 years to wait.
Yeah.
Michael, let's do another song choice. And this one is Elbow. It's a fantastic song. We've had everything from Dire Straits to Supertramp tonight. Now it's Elbow on a Day Like This. Want to tell us a bit about that?
Yeah. I had no idea who Elbow was. And I was watching the Glastonbury Film Festival on television. And this group came on, quite a lot of people, and the lead singer wasn't some handsome young man. He'd been in the business some time, if I can put it that way. And then they started, and then this song built and built and built and built, and I thought it was the most tremendous song of the summer for me, and so that's what it is, Elbow.
Well, it's Magic Indulgence at Magic 105.4, and, well, an hour's flying by, as I always knew it would, with Michael Caine, my special guest tonight. Michael, we do have time for one more song choice in a second. First, though, I wanted to ask you, out of all these hundreds of scripts that have come your way over the years, is the one that got away? Is the one that you thought at the time, it's not going to work, and somebody went on to do something big with it?
No.
Nothing at all.
I never missed one. I did a couple I shouldn't have done myself. But I mean,
got to pay the mortgage, haven't you?
Yeah, you've got to pay the mortgage. Unfortunately, I no longer have one, so it's okay. But no, I've never let a good script get away. No.
My producer mentioned earlier that you'd made a good cue in the Bond movies. Yeah, Bond never came knocking?
Wasn't big enough part.
Not Bond, I take it then.
I don't do products.
Yeah, you might have been a nice Miss Moneypenny, maybe.
Miss Moneypenny, I'd have done that in Drake, yeah. Well, look. No, the Bond was never a thing with me because it was Broccoli and Saltzman who made the Bond, and then I went off and did the Countess by yes. Harry Palmer for Saltzman, so there would never anyone going from the Bond company going to put me in.
Working for the enemy, yeah.
Working for the enemy,
that's
yeah.
right. So we're ending on a high. It's Frank Sinatra and My Way. What have you got to tell us about this one?
Well, obviously from the title. I do feel I did it my way. And it's a rather peculiar story because Claude François, who wrote this song, actually it wasn't written by Paul Anka. It was written by Claude François and it was called Pourquoi Pas, Why Not? And he was a friend of mine in Paris. And then I went to Las Vegas many years later and I became friends with Paul Anka, who rewrote the song with a beautiful rendition and called it My Way. And then it was sung by one of my best friends, not my best friend, but a very good friend in Hollywood, Frank Sinatra. So I have these three points of contact with this song. And it also describes my absolute attitude to my own life.
Wonderful. Cool. You certainly know your music, that's for sure.
Eh?
Mate, you certainly know your music.
Do you want to do a show on magic?
You may laugh.
I did a show the other day on a Sirius.
Howard Stern.
Thing. And I was in the Sirius building. When I came out, there was a man in a suit and a tie. And everybody was kowtowing. He was the governor, the president. And he said to me, there's a contract. If you ever want to do a radio show, sign it.
Fabulous.
Isn't that funny?
Do you know, I've got the same thing in here. Yeah. If we just do off the back of My Way then.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. Well, we need to have a great story for us, Michael, about Frank Sinatra, and he certainly did. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm sure everybody's, certainly if they haven't seen it already, they're looking forward to seeing the new film as anybody there. We wish you much continued success. It's been fantastic to catch up with you at last, and you're welcome at Magic anytime.
Thank you very much.
Have a good one. And Mellow Magic up next after the news today.
Magic Indulgence with More Than. Indulging our customers with our More For Me website, where you can spoil yourself with high street and online discounts. You can download this interview in full at magic.co.uk/podcasts.